T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dusty.
There's a force in the universe that makes things happen.
And Friends.
And all you have to do is get in touch with them. Stop thinking. Let things happen. And be the ball.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dusty and Friends.
Brought to you by Persimmon Country Club. Join Dirt and Sprague June 6th for a day on the course. Secure your tee time now at 1080thefan.com.
Dusty and Friends on 1080 The Fan.
Hour number 3 of Dusty and Friends continues on this Thursday with Anthony Newman. We've talked about high school all the way up through college and your time at the University of Oregon. Let's talk about your NFL career. This is something that it takes so much effort, so much work, sacrifice to make it to the National Football League. When was it that you've thought, okay, I can make it to the NFL? Because eighth or ninth grade, you said, I can play college football. When was it that they clicked for you? No. My aspirations are going to be higher.
My junior year at college, when Denny Shuler came, and he was our new defensive coordinator, and he really taught me the game. He really did. So from an athletic standpoint, I was able to play the game. But really, when you play at the next level, your brain has to work. You got to play with your brain first, because everybody's fast. Everybody is explosive, strong. So now you got to be the smart guy. You got to understand when things are going to happen before they happen. And so Denny brought that aspect to the game for me as a defensive back, to understand an offense, understand what a receiver's trying to do, what their quarterback's trying to do. So I became a smarter football player. I started to see my play just elevate, being that smarter football player. I started to see things happen before they happen, so I was able to get a jump on things and make some plays. I made a play against the Buffaloes. it was my senior year, that third game, and it was at their place, and they're running the option. And this quarterback did a certain thing when he was going to pitch the ball. And I knew, and he was coming at me, and he did that little we call it indicators, tendencies. And he showed me that tendency. And then all of a sudden, I went right to the pitch and caught the pitch, but I dropped it, but I got the fumble recovery. But it was, yeah, because I knew it was coming. Yeah, and it wasn't a guess. See, that's the difference. It's not, I'm not guessing.
You knew.
I knew. And so I think my junior year, I think I have a chance to play at the next level. I have a chance to really play defensive back. And again, for Oregon, I was playing corner, and then I went to strong safety, and then free safety, and back to, a little bit of nickel. So I was all over the place. So I really didn't know what position I would play if I had a chance to go in the NFL, but I wanted to play safety. I like being in the box. Plus, I was getting bigger.
Yeah.
So, it wasn't like playing corner was like, no, I'm not no little bitty guy I have chasing these guys. I'm too big to be chasing these little guys. So put me in the box. I like banging. I like dealing with the linemen. And it just, the love of the game, I start working out even more.
Right.
And that passion and doing things that I needed to do. And so working with the great Jimmy Radcliffe at Oregon during the offseason, I was working out with him and getting stronger and faster and more explosive. And I knew, hey, I have a chance to play in the NFL.
With that, what was the draft process like? I mean, you mentioned Jimmy Radcliffe. It's not like you were going down to Arizona and, nope. and living in Arizona, nope. training for the draft nope. for, you know, right when football season gets over.
Nope.
What was that process like for you?
It was me and J.J. Burden working with Jimmy Ratcliffe. And Jimmy Ratcliffe is the guy that got me, he helped my draft status. So going into the draft my senior year, I was projected fourth round, late third round, fourth round, and guys were looking. Went to the draft, guys didn't really know I was that big, and so I broke two combine records at the draft, the short shuttle and the standing broad at that time. So it was like, whoa. And then they start seeing me do all these drills at my height and my weight. So like, whoa, this is a big safety doing all this. He can play maybe corner for us. They started to like the bigger safeties. Mm. All that was because of Jimmy Ratcliffe and the training that we did trying to get ready for the combine to produce those numbers. And that was in-house. It wasn't right. I didn't go to Arizona. I didn't go to Florida. I didn't go to Texas to pay somebody $1,000 to $1 million to train me. I use my own strength guy, but Jimmy had the knowledge to help us.
There are so many stories of like the any player, any athlete at Oregon from when you were there all the way up to, well, when Aaron Feld was hired, because he was the strength coach for 30 years at Oregon.
I know. And here's the thing about Jimmy Ratcliffe. He was so good, people didn't know how good he was. When I went and broke those records at the combine, 3 years later, some kid came and broke my record. That was Latin Berry. Who was trained by Jimmy Ratcliffe, who played at Oregon, who was from Portland, Milwaukee High School.
Yeah,
so
still has a triple jump record,
exactly.
I think.
Exactly.
High school.
So talk about the training that we had and the training that I had from Jimmy Ratcliffe and us, JJ, and again, you know, Derek Lavelle and Chris Miller and all of us. We all had that training there. Even now you go back, I think even Alex Molden, he was still there with Alex and all those guys. That just really gave me the confidence. Like, I can play at the next level. I can do this. And so when I got drafted, I knew my stock went up to second round, maybe now first round. So on draft day, a lot of people wanted to come over and have this big party. And I said, no, I'm just going to have my three best friends and my mom and dad, and that's it. And then the local news was there, and they filmed the whole thing. It was kind of crazy. And so the phone was ringing all the time, and every time the phone was ringing, I would pick it up, and someone say, "Anthony, you get drafted yet?" Like, no, hey, I can't be on the phone. Hey, hang up, don't call back. I'll let you know. And I was so that phone was just going back and forth. So finally, the fifth pick of the second round, the Rams called me. Now, but it was kind of crazy because prior to that, my agent called and said, "Hey, the Giants are going to take you." I think they were the 38th pick or 39th pick of the draft. They're going to take you. They want you really bad. So just be prepared. So when the phone rang, I didn't think it was anybody. I didn't think it was a team. I thought I was not. And it was next thing you know, I picked it up. It was the Rams.
Wow.
And I was like, wait, this is the Rams. So I was trying to tell everybody to quiet down and stuff. And then all of a sudden, John Robinson got on the phone. He was our head coach and said, hey, you want to be a Ram? And I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, stay on the West Coast?
L.A.?
L.A.? You're going to L.A. as a young kid? Like, heck yeah. I was so happy. It was just, and it's so weird because it's strange because destiny. I go to L.A., you know, then meet my wife and then have three gorgeous kids and they're everything to us, you know. But if I got drafted by New York.
Yeah.
My life would have been different.
The total butterfly effect.
Yes. It's so weird because, and in New York, they wanted me. They were like, my agent said, they were all mad because the Rams came out of nowhere and picked me.
And just a few picks later, it would have been.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Because, I mean, back then, like the eighth pick of the, you know, second round or 38th pick is the eighth pick of the second round because there's only 30 teams in the NFL then.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, but we had... At that time, we had 12 rounds.
Oh, goodness gracious.
We had 12
Plenty
rounds.
Plenty of time to get drafted.
Yeah, exactly. We had 12 rounds. So there was a lot of guys getting drafted.
And what was that transition like for you? Like, you get down to L.A. And you mentioned, like, it's between the ears at that point because everybody's big, fast, and strong.
It was strange. I got down there, and here's the thing about it. You're in a group. So that year when the Rams drafted me, they had five picks in the first two rounds. They had two first round draft picks in 3 seconds because of the trade of Eric Dickerson.
Oh.
So they traded Eric Dickerson and
to the Colts?
Yes, yeah. And got all those draft picks.
Well, now they go F them picks, is exactly. What the GM says.
So he got all the there was that group of us. Gaston Green, Aaron Cox, Fred Strickland, Flipper Anderson, and myself, all in that draft. And then it was crazy. So they were expecting a lot out of us. And so that was tough, and because now all of a sudden they're looking at you. Okay, are you going to be a starter? Are you going to play? It was tough because they had me playing corner and nickel. I'm a safety, so they had me playing corner and I started as a nickel. I started on the nickel defense as a starting nickel back, covering Jerry Rice in the slot. Or covering John Taylor in the slot.
Welcome to the NFL, man.
Andre Rison in the slot. Young guys had to cover in the slot. I'm not a corner. So that was hard. So during I remember going back to my training camp rookie year, and training camp was long, unlike it is today. Because you had 3 weeks of your own rookie training camp, and then regular training camp was, I think it was like a month long. Okay, it was you know, good 3 weeks for sure. I'm talking in pads. Banging
every day.
There's no day off. There's no weekend off. It's Sunday through Sunday, banging. And I remember my rookie year, I called my mom and I said, "Hey, I think I want to come home." She said, "What?" I said, "So I started bawling. I started crying. I said, I can't do this. This is too hard. This is no way." And she goes, "You did this to me your freshman year in college." She goes, "And what did I tell you?" She said, "Stay with it." She goes, "That's right. Stay with it. Make them kick you out. So you stay there." And so my mom gave me this big pep talk. And so I put my helmet on and say, "Okay, let's go get this thing done." And then I just got after it. I just became aggressive. I was feisty and I started to ball.
And it was over a decade until they finally got rid of you.
Finally after 12 years. And they really didn't get rid of me after 12 years. I walked away, which I'm still mad at to this day. I really am. That's a pet peeve. That's something with me that I'm upset that I didn't get kicked out. I walked away because I retired. I said, "Oh, I'm done."
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have. I should you play until they kick you out.
What made you feel like you were done?
Well, after 12 years, you know, when you start looking at the players that you're going against, you're 34 and they're 25, 20, and you're going, you know, you're trying to warm up. And like me and Eric Allen, a good friend of mine, we used to go, "Okay, we need to go. What time is warm up? Warm up is 2:45. Okay, we need to get out there at 2:30 to warm up before warm ups to get our body set for practice." So that was hard for me. Now, it also depends on what type of coach you have, a head coach. I had John Gruden in my last few years. So John Gruden took care of the veteran players. So we didn't bang all the time. We didn't do conditioning, meaning after the practice, everybody's running and all that stuff. You're like, "Hey, anybody over 10 years, sit to the side." So he took care of you. But it was hard. It was like, do I want to keep doing this? You know, this banging and then going through the whole process of practice and coaches yelling at you and just controlling your whole life. But you're not thinking about the afterlife.
Yeah.
You're just thinking about right now going, do I want to do this?
In that moment.
Yes. And so I was going back and forth my last year and with the Raiders, like, I just don't, and I'm thinking, I'm done. I just want to retire.
And what year was that?
That was in 2000.
2000?
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I'm done. I don't want to do it anymore. And so Frank goes, "Okay, well, I'll let him know. I'll put your retirement papers in." So they put him in. And then I said, "Frank, I think I want to stay a little bit." So the Raiders already went another direction. So we had an opportunity to go to Green Bay or Detroit. And I said, "Nope, I'm not going to Green Bay, Detroit. I don't feel like taking the family and going all the way out there. I'm done." So I walked away.
Man, so if 2000 was your final year, I understand why you probably would want to gone back to the Raiders because
they would.
What a run. What a run you were a part of.
Exactly.
And you played with some very talented people over the course of your career. And I think one of the cool things when you talk to somebody who's played as long as you have and seen so many of them, I want to know, you know, the people that stick out to you. Anthony Newman, as we continue. Anthony Newman in studio with us. This is Dusty and Friends on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Dusty and Friends continues. Anthony Newman in studio with us. A 12-year NFL career. You have seen a lot of incredible talent in your career. Who are the guys that kind of stuck out to you that you always remember as, whoa, that person?
Well, when I first got to the Rams, this guy, he stood out because he was, he worked out so hard. And he was just a baller, not just because of what he did on the field, but just like as a teammate. He was a great teammate. He was a great friend of mine, Kevin Green, outside linebacker for the Rams and went to the Steelers.
Steelers, long hair, flowing out his helmet.
Yes, Hall of Famer. He was my guy. He was my my older brother on the team. He kind of took us under his wing, but I used to just it's by example. When you watch somebody by example and you see what they do and you see how hard they work, you're thinking, okay, I gotta do that. During the off seasons, he was in the gym working out, just killing himself. I'm going, okay, it's done this way. this is the NFL way.
This is how you do it.
Exactly. Yeah. So he was one, and then another young guy that came in was Jerome Bettis. Jerome, his work ethic, and you wouldn't think when you look at Jerome's body. You wouldn't think he's like that. He's not a workout bum. But when he came to practice, and when it was time to practice, he was the hardest working guy I've ever been around from the offensive standpoint of running the football. He would just run the ball hard. He was always hustled back. He was always going 100 miles an hour. And he didn't look like he was in great shape.
Right.
But he just, he brought everything. And again, another great teammate. A young guy that Well, then there was my really good friend that I played. I think we played on three different teams together, Eric Allen. Eric Allen, the all-pro corner from the Eagles back in the day. Mm-hmm. So we were on the same recruiting trip at Arizona State at the same time because we're both Pac-10. He went to Arizona State. I went to Oregon. And he thought I was going to Arizona State because we were kind of talking a little bit. But we became real good friends. So we played on three different teams together. We played two different teams, the Saints and the Rams. And talk about a guy that it was a smart football player. He was able to get in the playbook, looking at film, always talking about the team and the opponent. So I started to really listen to him and just like, hey, I want to do what Eric's doing because he's going to the Pro Bowl. He's doing these different things. I need to look at more film. I need to. So guys like that, great teammate. And then the young guy that came in that changed everything was Charles Woodson. Charles Woodson was the guy.
Special.
He was a special kid. And you'd think he would come in as a Heisman Trophy guy playing defense, and he was a hothead and think he would be all this. He came to the Raiders. He was so humble. He was part of our defensive back group that we had. We call it best in the nation. We were a good group. And he fit right in and just he did everything right, as a young guy. Mm-hmm. So I'm bringing these guys to you. They're all different ages of where I saw them and who they are. And for a young guy to come in, sometimes when you're a young guy come in, you think you're the stuff,
mm-hmm.
And you think, you can do anything. He was not that type. Matter of fact,
and he was a Heisman Trophy.
Matter of fact, we were told, and the coaches were told, okay, this is behind the scenes, to not coach him up very, very much. Don't get mad at him. Don't yell at him. Don't, if he makes a mistake, don't say anything to Charles Woodson. That's what we were told before he got, before he came to spring camp, to mini camp. Because they didn't want, Al Davis didn't want to really ruffle his feathers and make him all sad and make him bad. They wanted just to kind of let him go and do his thing. So he had the ability and he had the setting to go, hey, I could do what I want around here. I'm the man.
Yeah.
But he didn't do it that way. So he was totally just a great teammate. And so those guys right there, those are the teammates that you go against that you, I mean, that you play with and you know that, hey, we got to go to battle, you know, and have a good game and play for each other. But then there's some guys that you train with or that you know that, that play on other teams that really, that, that stood out and made a difference. And there's one guy, it's kind of funny when you talk about guys who are from the league, you think they're from all these top schools.
Yeah.
You know, and you think these guys are from, you know, all these, well, hey, I played at so-and-so, I played in a school. And there was a guy that, again, I know him well, okay, but he was not my teammate. He was a teammate in college, J.J. Burton. Mm. J.J. Burton's work ethic as a football player, when you have a guy that's only 5'8", a guy weighs about 155 pounds wet, playing in the NFL for 9 years as a receiver, okay, and to do what he can do, because what he does off during the offseason, how he trains. So I trained with him during the offseason, and I saw how he trained in the offseason, and his inspiration, his desire, dedication, that right there, that's a role model. That's as far as I'm trying to be a football player.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make it in the league. J.J. Burton, when I trained with him and when I watched him play and then played against J.J., because I didn't play, again, on Oregon in college, but I'm talking about in the NFL, playing against J.J., the littlest guy on the field, couldn't touch him, couldn't catch him. You know, he wasn't the star receiver, but he was a receiver that if you let alone, he's going to catch the ball. He's going to hurt you.
Yep.
He's going to take it 60.
Yep.
Yeah. But I knew how he was because I knew how he trained. And that right there, every time we used to go work out, I used to get inspired by him because I saw, okay, if you're training like this, I got to train like you because that's how it's done.
Yeah.
And we're the same age. You know, we came out the same year. And I think J.J., he got drafted late, like, 11th round, something like that, to the Cowboys, or something like that, or I think it was the Cowboys, or it might have been the Cowboys, or even Cleveland. I think he tried and got cut.
Oh,
he's the guy who got cut and then made it with the Falcons and then made it with the
Kansas
Chiefs.
City Chiefs. Yes. Yeah, you know, you mentioned he inspired you a ton. I mentioned this earlier in the show. That camp that you guys put together, it inspired a ton of young athletes in the area. How did that start for you guys? Because you two put on a free camp, and I remember the very first year. It was right down the road from where we're sitting right now at like Willamette Park.
Yeah, yeah.
And within a year or two, it got so big you had to move it twice.
Yes, yes. Well, that camp started because of, you know, JJ coming, being from Portland, Oregon, and myself being from Portland, and we wanted to give back to the community. We you know, this is our home. This is what we love. And this is, you know, we love the people here. And we wanted to provide something for the kids to have, you know, something to say, hey, this is what I'm receiving. And I had a good time. I got some material things. I got some knowledge. I got to meet some good people, be around some great kids. We wanted to provide that for them. And we had the same agent. So we told our agent, hey, we're going to do this football camp. They're like, oh, great. You're going to make a lot of money. That's great. Like, no. It's going to be free. We don't want to charge anybody. They're like, what? You're not going to charge? Well, how are you going to put the camp together? Out of your pocket? And we said, yeah, it's going to be some of it out of our pocket. We maybe try to get some sponsors and see what happens. But we want to put this camp together. So it started, when we first started the camp, it started at Delta Park. And so that camp had, I think, 25 kids at that camp or something like that. And then, you know, the last, it went on for 15 years. JJ was a part of it for the 10 years. But the last, you know, 15 years, we were getting 1,500 kids per day at that camp. So it got so big, incredible. We had to go to Tualatin High School.
Yeah.
Because he was, and so what we do is that we want to give something for the kids. So we give out Nike cleats. Every kid came to camp, got some free cleats, free football gloves. Again, it was a free camp. At one point, we were feeding kids lunch. We would get sack lunches and give all the kids lunches.
My goodness.
Oh yeah. It was
the effort that you guys had to put in.
And then add this, we would bring every year between 20 and 30 NFL players from our team, some different teams in the league, up to Portland and stay for a day or two and be a guest at the camp.
I will never forget my moment was as a kid. I'm sitting there lining up, and I've got Bert Emanuel on one side,
yes,
and
right.
JJ is on the other side, you know, teaching me how to get off the line of scrimmage,
yes.
And I'm just going... I'm a kid going, this is awesome. Like, and then watching them on TV, you know, a couple months later, watching both of those guys and just going, they were here. We don't have that here.
No, you don't.
It was amazing. And I don't know if you guys understand the impact that it had on so many. You're talking 1,500 kids a day.
Yes.
You guys... That was a lot of kids in this area that were impacted by that.
Well, and we had 100 coaches on our staff trying to figure things out. And then at the same time, my wife also had a cheerleading camp at the same time going on. She had about 300 or 400 kids, girls, having their cheerleading camp. And then they would perform for us on Sunday because that's our game day. So we watch them perform, and then we'd go out and play our little 7-on-7s and do all our stuff. And linemen would have their little lineman stuff. It was a blast. That was the camps before the camp started. It was a lot of fun, and thanks to all the people who helped out and all the sponsors. But it was and it's weird to sit here with people like yourself and go, I went to that camp. Like, now you really age me. See, now you really age me.
No, man, I'm just here to thank you for it because it was awesome and it made a huge impact on me. So thank you. That impact is continuing for you though. Because you coach high school football. And let's talk about why get into the high school coaching game. It must be for the money, you know? That must be why you're coaching high school football. We're here with Anthony Newman. We continue after Buck with SportsCenter. Anthony Newman is our friend today, and really every day, who are we kidding here? We've gone through it all and gone through your playing days. Now here we are at your post-playing days. Where you've coached for a lot of years at the high school level. How did you get into high school coaching? Was Central Catholic the first place that approached you to coach?
Yeah. Yes, it was. It was Central Catholic. And how I started coaching was because of my kids. But it's real funny. Before we had kids, I used to tell my wife, I would tell her, I'm not going to coach our kids. I'm not going to be that dad out there trying to coach and trying to get all this. I'm just going to sit back and watch and relax and kick back and have my lawn chair and have a little drink and watch the kids play. Until the first football practice my kid went to, and I saw those dads were trying to coach football.
Yeah.
I was like, nope, I'm going to go coach. I'm going to start coaching. So
that lasted a long time.
That lasted one practice. And I said, they're not organized. They're not like, nope. So I'm looking at kids picking daisies and, I was so involved with my kids. But it's kind of funny because people will say, they ask, how come you didn't coach college or coach pro? I had an opportunity to coach in the NFL with John Gruden. And when I retired, John asked me to stay on and coach. And so I remember going back, talking to the wife about it. We were living in Oakland at the time and like, do I want to stay here? Do we want to stay? Do we want to go back home? But I have a job to coach. We can, I can coach. And so we were really thinking about it. And it goes back to, if you're going to coach, you really have to be good at it. You got to devote your time to it. And I saw how the families of coaching, or they're from the coaches, it's hard to have that family to be around them all the time to see your kids grow up. Because you're always coaching, you're always working, you're always traveling, you're always going to different cities because you might be on one team for 2 years, and then also in the next, after that, you're on another team for 3 years, and then you're all over the country. So your kids, your family, you're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want that for my kids. I wanted one house, one neighborhood, They're going to grow up in that neighborhood, and that's where they're going to call home. And I said, if I go coach in the NFL, that won't happen. And it's kind of strange because that following that next year, Gruden went to Tampa Bay.
Yep.
He went to Tampa Bay, and I'm thinking, God, I'm glad I didn't do that.
So lucky.
So after I retired, I went home, and then, you know, like I said, watch our kids. I started coaching our kids in youth football, everything, youth soccer, baseball, basketball. But the high school part comes in because I knew my kid was in eighth grade. Okay, he's about to go to school here, and they're going to go to Central Catholic because my daughter was always, well, she was getting ready to go to Central Catholic. That was the year I started coaching. So I went to Steve Pine, the head coach at Central Catholic, great guy, and he's like, hey, Anthony, I said, Steve, I want to coach. I love to coach, love to be a part, just come out and help out. He goes, oh, heck yeah, you know.
He's able to turn you down. Sorry, Anthony, so we're good.
Yeah, that'd be great. And I said, okay, good. So I said, for this first year, my son's playing, you know, CYO football, so I'll coach high school, and then I'm going to run to their practice at 6 o'clock. And so I was doing that for that first year, trying to go back and forth. And then in the next year, AJ, my son, came to Central Catholic. So now he's, you know, part of the football program. And that's when I really got into it, really started coaching, being the defensive back coach there, just really using all my tools that I've learned as a player and what coaches did with us that I thought worked. And I started to bring some different tools to the game and how we studied and what we looked at. And, you know, kids are visual learners. Football players are. They're visual learners. And so I said, well, we gotta look. Let's look at film. Let's watch film. Mm-hmm. Start watching more film. It became just something that I just really just like, this is a blast. I like coaching football at this level.
Yeah.
I love it. And I love using my tools that I learned, you know, as a professional and even in college with these young kids. And it was just, I'm like, this is what I want to do. I just want to be now here's the deal. I wanted to be an assistant coach. I don't want to be a head coach. And I still don't want to be a head coach. And the reason why.
So don't call him.
Yeah. Because I don't want to start coaching parents and dealing with admin and dealing with all that stuff. I just want to coach your kid. I just want to provide tools for him to be successful in the game of football or in life.
Yes.
Also. But when I start dealing with parents and I start dealing with that admin and, you know, the athletic director coming up, you know, talking to me during practice. No, I don't have time for that. Right? Because you don't have two hours of practice, you know. So that's why I liked being that coach where I go coach the kids. After practice, I go home. After the games, I coach the kids in the game. And then after the game, I go home. I don't have to stand there talking to parents and explaining why their kid didn't play. The head coach has to do that. I don't have to do that. That's what I love. So the coaching, you know, I coached for 14 years at Central Catholic. It was just great for me. I was fortunate to win a championship with my son. Senior year. And we won a state championship our first year at Central. That was the first championship they won in 60 years. And then we won two more after that. And then they won another one. I wasn't there, but they won another one last year. So it's a great program. And then now I'm on to West Lynn. And I've been coaching there going on my third year. And I love it. It's just I'm surrounded by a great coaching staff, great community. They got some studs who can play football in West Lynn. And here's the positive for me. It's 10 minutes from my house.
Oh, perfect. There you go.
Going to where I live, you know, going to Central Catholic, it was a 35-minute drive. trying to get through downtown, downtown, but Portland area. Yeah. They don't have a parking lot. It's, you know, it's street parking in Central Catholic. So I don't have to worry about that anymore. And I don't have to go to Hillsboro for their stadium.
That's right, for a home game.
The home game is right in our West Lynn Stadium. So I love that. But I'm having a blast at West Lynn. I got some good guys on our staff. We have Alex Molden, ex-Duck. We have Damon Griffin, who played at Oregon. So it's a great staff.
That's awesome. And, you know, one of the most rewarding things is you talk a lot about football and in building relationships with kids. And I think that's one of the special things about football is that, you know, you were talking, you know, at the very beginning of this, when we're talking about your youth coaches and Greg Barton and Jack,
Obilovich.
And the impact that those guys have growing up. Well, I mean, one of the coolest moments that I remember is, you know, in working here at the Fan, is covering both the game at Auburn against Auburn at Cowboy Stadium, and then the Rose Bowl, and the hugs that you got from Lamar Winston and yes. Brady Breeze before the very first game of that 2019 season. And then you guys, all three of you guys, in tears celebrating a Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
And those are guys you coached in high school.
It's unreal. I can't really explain how that feeling is to people, because it's so deep. Those guys are so special to me. And even the guys who didn't play at Oregon.
Yeah.
One, Ryan Nall, who played with my son on that championship year. I used to give the pregame speeches. And then I would also give a speech to my son before the game. And then Ryan was a part of that a couple times. Well, not a couple times, his whole career at Central Catholic. And then he would call me during Oregon State. And I would, when he was playing at Oregon State, I would call and give him a pregame speech. And it happened in the NFL. He made it to the NFL. He's playing for the Bears. I'm sitting there watching television one day, and all of a sudden I see the Bears getting ready to play, and they're in the locker room. And all of a sudden I saw the phone. I said, I had a missed call from Ryan Nall. I said to my wife, I said, Ryan Nall? How could Ryan Nall be calling me? He's about to play a football game. So that's weird. So all of a sudden the phone rings again. No. And the wife goes, no, you need to call. I said, I'm not going to call. I said, well, I'll leave a message. So I called, left the message. Okay, so then I'm sitting down watching the game, getting ready to watch the game. I know they're getting ready to come out. The phone rings. It's Ryan Nall. I said, Ryan. And he's like, Coach Newman. I said, yeah. And I hear in the background, like, all the players in the locker room yelling, we're going to get them, F them, F them, this, that. I'm going, what? Are you in the locker room before the game? He goes, I need a pep talk right now. Can you give me a pep talk? I'm going, Ryan, are you kidding me? He goes, yeah. So I gave him a little pep talk over the phone. And then all of a sudden I hung up the phone. I look and the Bears on TV are coming out of the locker room.
No.
I'm not lying.
Way.
Yeah. And so that tells me that the impact that I had on those kids and what I mean to them. And that's everything.
Because it's worth it.
There's no doubt. And so, and that's why, you know, I'm still coaching today. I'll be coaching for a long time. So.
Anthony Newman, our guest on Dusty and Friends. We wrap it up next on The Fan. All right, we're ready to wrap it up here with Anthony Newman. He has been gracious enough to sit down with us for the last 2 hours. Beaverton High School, did you wear 34 in high school?
Yes, I did.
That was it. Walter Payton.
Walter Payton. Oh, well, yeah, for sure.
We do know, and we have this talk quite often.
I know what you're getting at.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
You wore number eight at the University of Oregon. Yep. There have been some really good number eights at Oregon.
Yes, there has.
Give me your list, the greatest eights in Oregon football history.
Oh, right now, Marcus is number one.
Marcus has got to be number one.
Yeah, Marcus is number one.
Look, the conversation is between you and Javon Holland. Yeah. We know that. We know where this conversation is.
Yeah, it's hard to say, because I look at this like, okay, how long does he play in the league?
Mm-hmm.
His college career. The success for the team goes towards Javon and what they did and all their stuff. But
come on,
Coach Newman was a little baller. Coach Newman was a little baller. I was a little bit before my time.
Weren't you guys drafted the exact same position in the NFL draft as well?
He was one after me.
One after you. Yes. So, yes, you got that on him.
Yeah, he's one after me.
I still got you as number two. Marcus is number one. He rewrote the book for that.
I was mad when he picked eight. I'm like, oh, no, why'd you take my number? But it's all good.
You know, but that's something that's really cool in that you know, you're watching a game and you're looking out there on the field and you see that number eight for Oregon, and there's always going to be a piece of you that is part of that uniform.
Oh, it's weird when you see pictures and I see there's my eight. There's me wearing eight, you know, and I see kids now wearing number eight. And it's funny because I pick eight because I wanted to be next to a guy who was number seven in pictures, in their team photo pictures. So I said, I like eight. I want to pick number eight because my guy is number seven. So I have eight. I don't know why I picked eight, as far as, you know, the number looked good, but I want to stand next to this guy that I kind of liked, and I was an idol.
Who's number seven?
Number seven that time was Eugene King, the running back.
Okay.
Okay, and then he picked, then he went to a different number.
Anthony, thank you so much for taking these this time with us. It's been awesome to sit here, and I can't wait until we start again with Oregon Ducks football, where hopefully we'll all be down in Atlanta for that opener against the Georgia Bulldogs. What have you seen in these first few months from this Oregon team that you love?
They have some guys who can play the game. They have some guys who can fly around and do some damage on the offense, on the defense. They're missing some guys. You know, they have to replace a lot of guys. They have a whole new coaching staff, which is going to be a challenge. I don't care what people say, because you have to get used to their ways and all those things. And everything is all really, you know, hype, and we're happy, but how are they going to act when they get hit in the mouth? You know, when adverse situations come up, how do they respond? That's what I want to see. And that's going to happen in the first game.
Very first one.
that's going to determine what type of team we have. But I'm excited to see these guys play. There's a lot of dudes on there that they can do some damage as from a receiver, even quarterbacks. I'm excited.
That defense is going to be good.
Yes, they're going to fly around. We got some coaches who can coach the game that know how to, you know, really get after an opponent. So it's going to be a blast this year.
Anthony Newman, thank you so much. It's been awesome as always.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Go Ducks.
All right, that is Anthony Newman. Coming up tomorrow, we have got Dale Scott, 16-year Major League Baseball umpire, will be joining us. Stories from the Diamond. But next, you got Primetime with Isaac and Suk. Have a great Thursday. See you Friday right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.